Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and we appreciate this opportunity to come and to share over the radio airwaves from the Word of God and to talk about these important things that are going on in our society. We've got a broadcast lined up today. We've sort of been doing a series, and we're going to get right into that in just a moment. Before we do that, we want to welcome all of our listeners, though, and I'm going to say hello to Noah. He's my son, Noah Greer, and I appreciate him and all that he does to help on the radio. Noah, how are you today?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. We do want to say welcome and good morning to our listeners, those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA, those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and also those who listen in out of KGPT, I always get tongue-tied on that, 89.1 The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, but I believe it's KPGT.
Is it?
Because it's Proclaiming God's Truth. That's what their call letter stands for. KPGT, 89.1 FM. We appreciate them, our listeners on AM 690 and also here on WATA. And we appreciate the opportunity to be here. And we are going through a study on the blessings of liberty. And I don't know, this is we're up to number 5 today, but we've actually been in that just a few more weeks than that. But our regular listeners know that we've been studying the subject signs of the times. And that is something that, you know, you might think to yourself, are there really signs of the times? You hear that, I mean, something will happen and people say, well, that's just signs of the times, or the Bible talks about things like this. Well, is that things just in real general, or are there specific things that we can look to and point at? Is that something that Christians just say to scare people or something like that? And the answer to that is no. The Bible does give several signs of the times. That's just not some saying that people say, but there are signs of the times. And we've been looking at several of these. We're going to continue on today with number 5, and that is perilous times. Number 5 is perilous times. Now, if you're a new listener, I'm just going to give a quick review of some of the things that we have talked about so far, but our list, and there's 10 things that we're going to look at before we get done with this study. The list that I'm drawing from is not something that I've just come up with, but I actually found this in an old book. There's a book called Dispensational Truth by Clarence Larkin. Now, it's a great book. I do not agree with everything in that book, but in general, it is a very good book, especially if you're studying prophecy and things along those lines. The Tribulation, the Book of Daniel, it's just full. It is absolutely full of information, and to really study it out would take a long time. It's not just one of those that you just read and you're done, but you actually sit down and study through that book. But this book was copyrighted in 1918. Clarence Larkin was a Bible prophecy teacher. That's what I would characterize him as in his specialty. He also wrote a book on Daniel. He's got a book on the book of Revelation. Of course, he's passed away now. But this book was copyrighted in 1918. So here we have a Bible prophecy teacher from 100 years ago, or almost now, the copyright 100 years ago. And 100 years ago, he gives, and this is in the last chapter of the book, it is a very short chapter, and he basically just lists these signs of the times. So I thought it would be very interesting to study these out. Here we are 100 years later. Wonder if he knew what he was talking about. Wonder if he, any of these things we could look at and say, you know what, that's right, that's true. These signs are coming to pass. Or is he so far off base that he's not even close? And it's just laughable. There are those that have made predictions that are nowhere close. They don't even make sense anymore. But Mr. Larkin gives these 10 signs of the times, and we have been going week by week through these signs. Well, do we see these signs? That's our question. So far, and quickly I'm going to mention these, so far we have seen, number one, postmillennial scoffers. That's what Mr. Larkin calls them. And if you're not familiar with this phraseology about end time events, and I went through and took some time and explained what that means, but the Bible does say that in the last days scoffers will come, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Well, we see that today. That's just somebody that says, that's crazy. Who could believe anything like that? That's somebody that says, oh, I've heard that all my life, and the Lord hasn't come yet, and that's not, you know, that's what it is, scoffing about the Lord's return. That was the first one we looked at. Number two, we looked at the subject of apostasy. The Bible says that day, and this is found in the book of 2 Thessalonians, but it's talking about that day, talking about the day of the Lord. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That falling away, that is a departure from the truth. And that is where we get our word apostasy from. And so there'll be an apostasy in the last days. And we talked about that. Frequency, fervency. We see apostasy on the increase and has been for many, many years now. We are seeing the results of apostasy in our day and time. So these signs have already been in the works a long time. Apostasy, false teachers, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. That was the third week. And the Bible says over there, as there were false prophets among the people, so shall there be false teachers among you. And we see that there's much of that as well. Last week, just in time for Halloween week, we looked at the subject of spiritism. Mr. Larkin gave one of the signs of the times would be in the last days a rise of spiritism or demonism, the study of demonology, demons, witchcraft. Look at the prevalence of these things in our society today. Look at your average new television show, witchcraft, the occult, zombies, vampires. These things are described in the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit, that's a capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit speaketh expressly, that means very plainly concerning this, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. There's apostasy, a departure from the truth, depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's demons. That word devils, when you see that in the Bible, that's where we get our word demons from. And so we have spiritism, and we see that is very much accepted in this day and time in which we live. And number five, what we're going to look at today is perilous times. This is a passage of scripture that a lot of people are already familiar with. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. And I told a preacher friend yesterday, I said, I'm not trying to find information for tomorrow's radio broadcast. I said, I'm trying to pare it down or cut it down. There's no way I can do this justice in one 30-minute segment. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1 says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then we're going to eventually read on down through verse number 5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And much has been written and said about these perilous times. the most common explanation for perilous times and what that actually means, you'll hear people say, well, that means dangerous times. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And well, that is what that is talking about. Perilous, if we say that something is perilous, well, that means the most common definition of that word would be that something is dangerous. We might say, don't walk across that bridge. It's not been taken care of, and it's rotting and falling down. It's perilous. That means if you get out on it, you may fall through the boards. It may fall down upon you. So something that is perilous is something that is dangerous. And how true that is. We are living in very dangerous times. And many, many examples we could look at today to point out the fact, of the times being perilous or being dangerous. Once upon a time, in the public school system here in America, the worst discipline problems that they had was maybe talking in class, maybe getting out of line, going to the lunchroom. I remember when I was a boy growing up and we had to line up to go to the lunchroom, and we'd line up A to Z, and then sometimes they'd flip it around and they'd start at Z and go to A. So but if you was a G or an H like me and most of us, well, you just always stuck in the middle. But once upon a time, getting out of line, going to the lunchroom, going to the gym, that'd be a discipline problem, or passing notes or chewing gum, something along these lines. But today in our public schools, the more that we have gotten away from God and His Word or any reference to that whatsoever, what are the problems that they have in the public school system? Well, last week or 2 weeks ago, somebody, a student, a 12-year-old, went into school and shot a teacher, killed him, and shot one of their roommates. That happened out in New Mexico. And we talked about this last week up in Massachusetts. A 14-year-old student took a box cutter and murdered his teacher, 24-year-old female math teacher, right there in the classroom, stuffed her into a garbage can and hauled her off into the woods. And the reason they found her, how they found her so quickly, was there was a blood trail out there, and that young man took her credit card or debit card and went to Wendy's and had a meal after he had murdered his teacher. Once upon a time, these things would have been absolutely unheard of. Sadly, in our day and time, these things are more and more common. Well, that may not happen every week, but I'll tell you something that does happen on a weekly basis, and that is something called sexting. And this is something where young people, they take explicit pictures of themselves or their friends, and they text those pictures to one another. That goes on right here in little old Watauga County, rural North Carolina. These types of things, these are problems that are going on among young people. Sexting, shootings, abuse of not only drugs and alcohol, but prescription drugs. And when you hear announcements on the radio and signs beside the road talking about the problem of the abuse of prescription drugs, well, it's a pretty widespread problem. And so you have abuse of drugs. You have rape that goes on in school systems. I'm talking about in the public school. It's everywhere, but we're talking about perilous times. You have suicide is a big problem in this day and time. You have teacher on student misconduct that goes on. And I'm not just throwing off on the public school system. It's a wide range. It happens everywhere. It happens in churches. It happens in private schools as well. But it happens many, many times in public schools. All you have to do is get the newspaper. I get the Winston-Salem Journal every day, And it amazes me how often it shows up in the newspaper that teachers, coaches, firemen, police officers take advantage, and they are caught up in sexual misconduct with minors. That is children, both male and female, under the age of 18. We live, I'm telling you, in perilous times, dangerous times. Isn't it a dangerous time when you send your child off to school and you hope and pray to God that there's not a shooting, that they're not taken advantage of, sexually speaking, by another student or gang of students, that they're not stabbed, that they're not taken advantage of by somebody that's supposed to be over them? We're living in perilous times. And what further lets me see that or know that is, just for example, what's going on in Watauga County, this controversy over this book, The House of Spirits. And I read a little bit or talked a little bit about that last week, but it's just absolutely filthy. And it has all kinds of things, such as having sex with dead people, raping, homosexuality. I mean, lots of things that it talks about. But you've got some, not all, teachers and administrators that they want students reading books like this that fuel the imagination with more of the same. And where once upon a time, such filth wouldn't even be read by an adult. I mean, they would see it for what it was. And but now we want, not all of us, but people want young people reading these things. Perilous times, dangerous times. That's where we are. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Well, that's your most common definition of the word perilous, to be dangerous. But it goes further than that. When we're talking about perilous times, it goes further than dangerous, and it actually has the idea of through weakening something. I said, if we gave a definition and we said, stay off that bridge, it's dangerous, it's perilous. Well, why? Because it's weak, because it's deteriorated. It's not as strong as it used to be once upon a time. So it is dangerous, yes, but because that it's weak, it's not as strong as it once was. So perilous times is weak times. We are living in, across the board, many areas we could talk about, a weak society, not as strong as we once were, morally, mentally, spiritually, politically, physically, economically. We could mention any category today and see that we are weak as a nation. We're weak as a people, morally speaking. Homes are not what they were once upon a time. Many homes and families are just very weak. Many children are born and raised. They don't have a father. They don't have a mother. They're just, the family unit is weaker than it was. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, weakening times, dangerous times. Homes are not as they should be morally. Schools are not as they were once upon a time. When I was growing up and going to school, morality was taught. It was expected. It was encouraged. It was, when it was not as it should be, there was repercussions because of that. There was discipline in the school, and morality was a thing that was upheld. No longer do we see that. You know, well, got to be politically correct. Don't want to offend anybody. Don't want to imply that somebody's doing something wrong, or, God forbid, we should say somebody's doing something that's sinful or wicked. So we've gotten away from that. Well, we're morally weak in our schools, in our churches, not just picking on schools. Schools aren't what they used to be. Churches are not what they used to be. The county, the military, is not the moral. It used to be that even when I was in the military, in the late 80s, early 90s, morality, once again, was encouraged. And there was plenty of immorality, don't get me wrong, but we're weaker than we were once upon a time in our country, all across the board. All are much weaker than they were, mentally speaking. People are weak. What I mean by that, look how many people in our society, if you really knew the number of people that you dealt with every day, went to school with, went to work with, drove by the road on, or met on the highway, you may not know them, but people that have to be medicated just to make it through the day. I'm not talking about heart medication. I'm not talking about lowering your cholesterol. I'm not talking about high blood pressure, anything like that. I'm talking about drugs that influence the mind. People are medicated. They are they have to be. They get hooked on these things to just make it through the day, just to cope, just to function in society. Here's a good way to describe people about to snap. Last night, or day or two ago, look at all these people going into public places, shooting, killing themselves, suicide. I mean, on and on we could go. People are about to snap. That is a sign of the times. This know also that in the last days, perilous times, weakening times, you can go to church. Maybe you say, well, that's not me. I'm not like that. But you can go to church. You can have a good service. You can go away, lift it up in your spirit, and say, praising the Lord for that. And it won't take long. I mean, just ride into town. All that strength is just sapped and gone. This is a sign of the times. Children are medicated in schools. Adults, professionals, morally, mentally, spiritually. Once upon a time, churches stood for something. They claimed to believe the Bible. They backed it up with their preaching and their conduct. Now, there's always been liberal churches and modernistic churches. I'm not talking about that. We're living in a day and time. In the past 10, 20 years for sure, Bible-believing churches, those that once upon a time claimed to believe something and back it up by the way they preached, by their conduct, are in the process, I guess would be a good way to put it, of straying far away from what one time would have been totally unacceptable. We have in our land, this is becoming more and more common, and that's the divorced preacher and pastor. That's going to reap a lot of bad fruit down the road. And we have this, it's becoming more and more common. I hear about it all the time. Men that are supposed to be qualified according to the Word of God in 2 Timothy chapter 3 or 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and have their house in order, but they're divorced. You talk about bad fruit down the road. I know how people are. Oh, we like brother so-and-so, and I don't see in his situation anything wrong with that. Well, you know, once upon a time, it was an unheard-of thing to have a double-married preacher or pastor or a double-married deacon. Now that is just about become common among churches that claim to believe the Bible. What we allow a little bit, you let one generation go by, and it'll be just as common, and people think that's the way it's always been. But even Bible-believing churches, perilous times, weakening times, we see that we are living in. Well, weakness characterizes the whole age. Fierceness characterizes the age. Now, this word in 2 Timothy, this word perilous, is very interesting. It's only mentioned one time in the Bible. The word perilous is mentioned one time in the Bible. This same word, which means through the idea of weakening, dangerous weakening, is found one other place in the Greek text, And it's in Matthew chapter 8, verse number 28, where it is translated as the word fierce. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce. That's the same word as you find in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. These demon-possessed men are characterized as being exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And so this word perilous and this cross reference in Matthew chapter 8, verse number 28, I believe we also have a indication of demon possession and fierceness because of that in the last days. Look at the violence once again. I'll mention that. They were so fierce, they were so violent that nobody could pass by that way. If you want to get a good feel for how people really are in their hearts, you go to the internet, read any news article. It doesn't matter in what part of the country, but just something that people feel strongly about, whether it's politics, abortion, the subject of homosexuality, this book that I've mentioned right here in Watauga County. Go to the Watauga Democrat website and read the comments under the articles that have been written about that. And you will see how the internet, texting, the ability to leave an anonymous comment, look how people treat one another, look how they talk about one another, threatening, all kinds of fear, just a fierce, violent, no middle ground, no meeting together, no, look how our government cannot get along. Fierceness, fierce words, and fierce actions one towards another. Well, we do not have to be in the dark about what these perilous times mean, because as we read on down, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says this: know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then in verses 2 through 5, there are 20 descriptions of what it's going to be like. I'm just going to have time to quickly read these verses, basically with no comment or very little. Verse 2, how's it going to be? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. That means I'm just looking out for number one, me, myself, and I. That characterizes the age. Look how many, that's all they're concerned about. Not concerned about the country. People will split a church over, I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to admit I was wrong. I'm not going to say I was sorry. I just love myself. And so men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, number two is covetous. Well, that's just wanting something somebody else has got. Boasters, that's somebody brag about themselves. Proud, well, when I think about proud, I think about the current president of the United States. I think if you put a picture dictionary, his picture would go very well beside that word, proud. And so then it says blasphemers. Well, that's cursing God. Listen to some of your rock and rap stations and see how they talk about the name of the Lord. Disobedient to parents. We see that talking about children. Unthankful, unholy. We won't have time to go through all these. Without natural affection. Mr. Larkin says that means for their own offspring. Look at the 55 million children that have been aborted since 1973. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's where we are. Having a form of godliness, that means they're religious. But then it says, but denying the power thereof, that means they're lost, he said, from such turn away. Well, time is gone. Noah's going to come, give the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that is located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org.